Welcome to the Summit Red Deer podcast. You can stay connected by going to our website, thesummitreddeer.ca.
I was thinking about what an interesting time in history we're living in, you know, in the aftermath of a worldwide pandemic. The whole world, you know, affected by sickness and affected by disease. And I believe we're living in a time of what could be historic awakening. You know, I'm a student of revival, and I like to study the history of revival. And if you study revival, you can see these patterns in world history. There'd be these global shakings that would happen, these global disruptions. And many times right after a global crisis, there would be a move of God in the earth, responding to the pain of the world. You'd see a move of God after, you know, the World War I and World War II and the Great Depression. You'd see these moves of God. In the Great Depression, there was a worldwide prayer movement. After the Vietnam War, there was massive loss of life. There was a Jesus people movement. You know, we've just come out of this global pandemic, and there was moments where we couldn't even legally gather to worship. And last year, there were campus revivals of nonstop worship, recorded about 53 campuses where people are getting baptized throughout the night, and they're worshiping nonstop for weeks on end. It's interesting when they say you can't worship, and all of a sudden there is a revival of worship. It's interesting when the church gets attacked, when the church gets oppressed, God responds with love and revival and awakening. And so could we be on the precipice of a global healing revival? Could we be on the precipice of a global healing revival? You know, I believe revival is our revenge. Revival is our revenge. I'm going to read an article about John G. Lake. This is where during the Black Plague. By January 1910, he was headed back to Africa in the midst of a raging plague there. He was among the few who ministered to the sick and dying. He proved to local physicians that germs would not live on his body due to the Holy Spirit alive in him. He actually verified this under a microscope, showing that germs died upon contact with his body. Those who witnessed the experiment stood in amazement as Lake gave glory to God, explaining that it's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I believe that as long as I keep my soul in contact with the living God so that his spirit is flowing into my soul and body, that no germ will ever attach itself to me, for the spirit of God will kill it. He says, we don't run away from danger zones. We run towards them. The power of God is more contagious than the Black Plague. And so, I believe that John G. Lake operated in a healing anointing, maybe similar to the disciples, where the rumors about the disciples is that their shadow was anointed. What was overshadowing, they were living under the shadow of the Most High, so their shadow had a ministry when their shadow touched someone, because they carried an atmosphere of heaven. They carried an atmosphere of healing. And so I believe God wants to heal the world. So why wouldn't God want to pour out a global healing revival? And so healing and miracles, they're one of the funnest and incredible things. I like them so much because they're a physical manifestation of the love and the goodness of God. I believe they're one of the love languages of heaven. You know, there's love languages, right? I believe heaven has love languages. And touch is one of those love languages. God touches your body and he heals your knee and pain is gone from your body. And physically, it was there a moment, but then God touches and something changes in the physical. I like it because it's like the supernatural supersedes the physical and it breaks through. So there's something practical that is inhibiting you from going back to work, but the spiritual power and love of God supersedes what you're physically experiencing in that moment. Isn't that cool? When somebody's knee gets healed and all of a sudden they don't have to be on workers' compensation anymore. They can go back to work. They can run. They can play sports again. Come on. That's the goodness of God. That's God's love touching people's bodies and bringing them back into order. And so healing is one of the love languages of heaven. And, you know, most of the healing lessons that I learned, I actually learned from my son. How many know it's childlikeness? Childlikeness is maturity in the kingdom of God. Just believe faith like a child. You must have faith like a child to inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? And so I believe childlikeness is the key to ministering and healing. Childlikeness. And so I remember, if you don't know, my son, we adopted him in Jamaica, and it took about a 7-year journey, but we had to go all the way to the Supreme Court, but that's another story for another day. When we would go down to Jamaica, remember, revival is our revenge. There's something about moving in the opposite spirit. If the enemy's attacking your life and attacking you, then you move in the opposite of spirit. You know, the kingdom of heaven advances violently. And so if the enemy's this is what I told God. If the enemy's trying to keep my family in Jamaica, I'm going to become a nightmare for the enemy in Jamaica. I'm going to see as many people saved, healed, and delivered as I possibly can. Like, God, use me to just become an absolute nightmare for the kingdom of darkness. We're going to see the kingdom of light advance. And so we would often, every time we go to the grocery store, we'd look for people if there's anybody we could pray for. And so we saw this one, Dax spotted this guy. He had no leg. And so I was like, you know, you could have maybe a sprained ankle, maybe something a little bit. You know? But Dax's like, look at that guy has no leg. It was like chopped off at the knee. So he goes up to Dax. He has no fear right now, right? Because he's just a child. And so he says, what happened to your leg? Got chopped off? And the guy's like, yeah, pretty much. And then I said, well, we can pray for you, you know, and we can believe God for you. And Dax is praying that his leg grows back. And we did not see the leg grow back. And we were praying for it. But we prayed. He said, do you need a job? He's like, yeah, because I don't have a leg, I can't, you know, like, I don't have work. So I'm begging here at this grocery store. So we prayed for him. So I was back in Canada. And a week later, my son called me. He said, Dad, the guy at the store that we prayed for with no leg, he has a leg now. And I said, what? He said, yeah, he got a wooden one. And so, and he's got a job now, so he doesn't have to beg anymore. And so we prayed for him. What we expected in the moment, you know, the fantastic and supernatural was like, hey, God, are you going to grow out a leg? But my son was surprised. God healed him a different way than we expected, but still he's at work. He's now he has a job. And so, you know, like sometimes God does things different than we expect. He likes to heal people different than we expect. Now, there are stories of actual limbs growing out. And so we don't, you know, I always believe for the, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, you're not going to be missing any limbs. And so we're allowed, that's a legal prayer that we are allowed to pray. And so, but I just love the childlikeness or the childlike faith of my son. We're going to go right after it. And so when he was here in Canada, we came to Canada. He was here a month, and that's what we did in Jamaica. So that makes sense that this is what we would do when we get to Canada too. And so we were in the mall at Millwoods Mall and out in the parking lot. Millwoods Mall is not like West Edmonton Mall. It's a very different mall than West Edmonton Mall. Millwoods Mall is like the ghetto mall. But outside in the parking lot, we were sitting in our car, and there was this lady that was behind us, and she had like one of these, and she was rolling with one of these, and then Dax is like, Dad, we need to go pray for the lady behind our vehicle. And I wasn't paying attention. I was actually preparing for something. So I was in the front and studying, preparing. He caught me off guard. And he opens the door and he says, Dad, if you don't go, I'm going. And so he's threatening to leave without me. And so I'm like, wait. And so he left with the door open, and I left with my door open, and I chased after him. And he was chasing after this lady. She got around the corner. She was this Muslim lady. And so we went up to her, and I blame my son because he started this whole thing. I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, my son, he just has so much compassion. He wanted to pray for you today. Is it okay if we pray for you today? And she said, well, I'm a Muslim, but I said, well, we're Christians. We believe in Jesus. Is that okay if we pray for you in the name of Jesus? She says, I've heard of Jesus. Yeah, that's okay. And so we prayed for her, and her knee, she said, I'm so terrified. I have an operation on my knee booked next week, and I'm terrified. I don't want to go under the knife. And so I said, well, we'll pray for you right now. And so my Dax put his hand on her knee. The interesting thing is we didn't say anything. He just put his hand on her knee, and I heard the whole snap, crackle, pop. Like you could hear something shifting in her knee. And you could see the swelling just start to go down. And so I just said, ma'am, do you feel something happening in your body? And her eyes were like really big. She's like, uh-huh. And we said, well, try to do something you couldn't do before. And so she started to push her, you know, her walker away. And she took a step unassisted, very tentatively. But she took a step very tentatively and it worked. And she kept walking, and she hadn't done this in years, maybe even a decade. I forget how long she said, but it was a long time since she had walked without assistance. And then by the end of about 20 feet, she was walking at a full pace. And then she turned around and she had tears in her eyes. She's like, I knew it. You guys are angels sent from God to pray for me. And my son was so excited. He'd never seen one of these things before. And so he said, ma'am, you don't need this anymore. You can give this to some other old lady. I just love his innocence and his excitement. And I'm like, God, I'm learning that it's not as complicated as we make it sometimes. We don't need these long, drawn out prayers where we're like begging God to do something that he loves to do. This is what he loves to do. It says in the Bible, he is the great physician. This is what he's good at. He is always in a good mood. He's in the mood for miracles. And the question is, are you in the mood for miracles? Are we in the mood for miracles? Are we ready? And I love how God poured out his love over this Muslim lady. And it's interesting how open people are, how hungry people are to encounter the love of God. And so it was like a year later, we were at our first youth conference. And it was an Alliance Youth Conference. I forget where it was, but Camp Caroline. It was at Camp Caroline, and it was a Baptist youth or a young adults camp. That's what it was, Baptist young adults camp. And we started praying for healing and praying for miracles. And there was this one nurse that she'd broken her kneecap. She was a cheerleader, and she'd been thrown up in the air. She landed on her kneecap. She broke it in half, you guys. It was absolutely broken in half. So she had the x-rays. She had about three staples, and you could still see like the space, but you could see the staples kind of like just holding the knee together. And she had this operation. And so we prayed for her. Dax prayed for her. And a week later, she sent brand new x-rays, and you could not tell. There was no staples. The knee was perfectly whole. There was no crack. There was no break in it at all. Isn't that good? That's just the love of God. That's just the goodness of Jesus. And so, this one of the things that has encouraged me is, and I've meditated on, did you know that the same spirit that raised God from the dead lives on the inside of you and is looking to be released through you? We get to be a funnel. We get to be a tool. We just get to be a space where God can use our hands and use our feet. And we get to be a conduit. Like if it's electric power, we get to be a conduit for the power and the love of God. And the same power that raised Jesus, God, from the dead, that same dynamite, dunamis power, explosive power, it lives on the inside of us. And I believe as a church, we need to be activated in this. And it's not as complicated as we might make it out to be. It's actually simpler than we can imagine. And so I remember being in Sylvan Lake, and There was a guy named Brian Torwalt. He wrote these amazing worship songs. He wrote a song called Holy Spirit. And I remember hanging out with him, and he was crazy. He challenged me. And he said, I want you to pray this dangerous prayer. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. He says, pray this. God, haunt me with sickness. And I'm like, what do you mean, haunt me with sickness? He's like, when I go into the room, I want to see where the sickness is. Show me where the sickness is. And so I said, okay, I'll pray that prayer. And then he's like, and then let's go to like a hospital waiting room. I'm like, whoa. He's like, just take it to another level. He would do that. He would hang out I'm dead serious. He would hang out in hospital waiting rooms and see how many people he could pray for. And then they would leave before seeing the doctor. And like that, talk about boldness. And I'm new to this, so I wasn't at that level, but I was like, okay, I'm gonna step into this. And so I said, God, I want you to show me where the sickness is in the room. If you want to heal something, please use me. Please highlight the people that you want to touch and you want to heal. And so Walmart became a dangerous place to go to, you guys. I remember going to Sylvan Lake Walmart and my wife and I were going out. We were grabbing a few groceries, and then we had a date night planned. And I remember walking in, and the first aisle, we were going to grab some cereal. The first aisle, a guy comes around, and he's on crutches. And I see him at the end of the aisle. I'm at one end of the aisle, and he's at the other end of the aisle. And we're walking in the same direction. The whole time, I've never prayed for somebody in public before, so my heart is racing, and I'm like, God, I'm on a date with my wife. I don't want to embarrass her. And, you know, I've got all these like excuses running in my head, and then I just pass them by. I grab the cornflakes, and I keep walking, and we go into the next aisle, and he comes around the opposite way, and I'm coming around this way, and I'm like, God, I'll make a deal with you. I'll come back tomorrow. And if there's somebody who's sick tomorrow, I'll pray, but not right now. This is an inconvenient time right now as I'm trying to bargain with God. And so we go around the third aisle, and it happens to be, I don't know, just a busy, something like Walmart is usually not that busy, but there's like a traffic jam, and I'm stuck right in front of this guy. And I'm like, and I felt almost like the three strikes, you're out. Like, you prayed the prayer, and here you are. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And so with fear and trembling, I'm like, excuse me, I'm a pastor. And then I almost hit my head, because why did I start with that? And I said, I believe God heals. And I see, you know, like you have something happening with your ankle. I'm thinking it's probably just a sprain. I can pray for a sprain, you know. And he's like, yeah, it was a work accident. It was in a warehouse, and the forklift crushed my ankle. The doctor says I might never be able to put weight on the ankle again. It's not broken. They said it's more like porridge. Like the ankle is like, it's beyond broken. It's shattered beyond shattered. And his mom was there helping him get groceries, because he's his first time on his crutches. He's trying to figure out how he's going to do life and stuff. And so I said, okay, I'll pray for you. And so I get down, and I'm like, God, you don't want to look bad. You better do something. Like, I was one of the, have you ever prayed one of those panic prayers in tongues? You're like, God, help. I'm praying for him. And then I get up, and I'm like, do you notice anything different? Do you notice anything change? And he's like, no, is it supposed to? And I said, okay, let me pray one more time. And I got down on my knees, and I could feel God's compassion for this young man. And I connected with God's heart for this person who God dearly loves. And I remember praying, and I felt the heat of God's love. I don't always feel something when I pray. Sometimes I'm just praying in agreement with the word of God. But at this moment, I felt an anointing. I felt the heat of God's love. And it was in my hand. It was on my neck. And I could feel it like going into the ankle. And as I was praying for him, I just said, God, you love him. Pour out your love. Pour out your healing on this ankle. Bless this young man. And I get up, and he says, oh, that's different. And he had a boot on, and he puts it down. He's like, oh, I can put weight on it. And then he did something I didn't know if it was smart to do at the time, but then he started jumping on his ankle. He's like, yeah, it doesn't hurt at all. And he's like, thanks. And we just shook hands and then we went one way. And I was like, I should have probably followed up a little bit more, but I was in shock as much as he was in shock. And so we kind of just went our opposite ways. But I saw him at the till paying for his groceries. His mom's still in tears. And then he's walking out of the Walmart holding his crutches. And I thought, God, I want you to use me for this. God, it's humbling, it's scary, but sometimes, but I want you to use me for this because you love people and sickness and pain. These are part, I believe, they're works of hell. And you came to heal and save the lost. And so God, use me. And so, you know, somewhere along the line, I prayed for someone and it didn't work like that. I remember praying for someone who had passed away. They'd passed on. And this was a family that believed that, you know, maybe he could be resuscitated. Maybe he could come back. And it had only been 20 minutes. And I remember praying and it was an hour and there was no sign of life. And it was 2 hours and 4 hours. And we're praying for God to heal him, for his spirit to come back into his body. And that was not happening. And after 6 hours, God made it very clear to me, he's not coming back. And so that was heartbreaking. And I prayed for people and I've seen them come back from their deathbed, and I prayed for people and we've lost people and we've seen loss. But in those moments of loss, we can't let that rewrite a good gospel. We can't let a bad experience now change our theology. Maybe God doesn't heal all the time. You know, that you start to have these questions. And I believe the gospel has already been written, and it's the good news. I believe a yes, maybe, a no, maybe so gospel is a shipwrecked gospel. We have to get firm on some things. God comes to heal. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God comes that we might have life. He brings healing. We can't blame God for the devil's handiwork. There is a war out there. There is a war. There have been casualties in the church. This does happen, but it doesn't change our doctrine of a good God and a healing God. Amen. And so we don't get our belief from experiences. You know, if you've had a bad experience praying for someone, well, have another experience with God. God wants to show his goodness. He wants to show his love. And so we got to be careful that we don't ever agree with a doctrine of disappointments. We agree with a doctrine of hope. Bad experiences or failure, they cannot reshape our gospel theology. And so I believe Jesus is perfect theology. And, you know, I've lost people and I've prayed for people and I've seen them come back when the doctor said, there is no chance. We praise God. And the next person you give me, I will pray for them with integrity and love and believe for a miracle in that moment. And we keep moving forward because I believe God is a good God. And I get kind of fierce about this because I believe the devil is a bad devil. And there's nothing that frustrates me more when God's goodness starts to get questioned. You see, my dad died of leukemia when I was very, very young. And when that happens, well-meaning people, they start to make excuses for God, or they start to come up with different theologies, or maybe he needed another angel in heaven. And you know what? I looked up that verse. I can't find it in the Bible. You know, there's all these man-made verses or man-made excuses that we start to make for God. But how many know we don't need to make excuses for God? He's already written his book. He's already told us the good news. And so the Bible says that he's come to give life and life more abundantly. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we need to stop blaming God for the devil's handiwork. And this is what Jesus did. I believe Jesus is perfect theology. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son. And so in Acts 10:38, it says this. It's my first verse. This is the foundation for a lot of my healing theology. Is where Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So right there, we see God's definition of good is healing the sick. And he calls sickness oppression from the devil. So I love that definition. Jesus went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And so, you know, if I was a father, and I am, and I neglected my child, how many know that's criminal? If I discipline my child by infecting him with some type of disease, that is criminal. That is child abuse. Yet there are strange doctrines, strange theologies out there that make that maybe God is just using this to make him a better Christian. And I absolutely reject that type of theology. I believe that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and God is good. And so Matthew chapter 7, and I don't believe God uses evil to make us good. You know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says, you then, being evil, how to know how to give good gifts to your children? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Do you know, when God can't give you something he doesn't have, is there any sickness in heaven? There's no sickness in heaven. He can't give you something he does not have. It's interesting that there was a lame man begging for alms, and the disciples were walking by the lame man and they were asking for money, and the lame man, you know, said, you know, alms, and they said, we can't give you what we don't have, but what we do have, we'll give to you. What did they have? They had healing power. And so they said, rise up and walk. What does God have? He has healing. And so Jesus never once said, gee, I'd really like to heal you, but the Father is using this for you to become a better person. How many know we don't serve a bipolar God? And Jesus is not working against the Father, and the Father's needs to discipline, and Jesus is protecting the kids from discipline. No, that's not how this works. Some people think there's like this theology of acts of God. They call a storm an act of God. They call a famine an act of God. They call these earthquakes acts of God. I think, man, that must break the heart of God, because these are not acts of God. These are acts of creation groaning, wanting the goodness of God to come and reign on the earth again, wanting to be back in connection with its creator. And so remember when Jesus rebuked the storm, if the storm was an act of God, he would have been rebuking himself. But he rebuked the storm and it was calm. He wasn't rebuking his Father. He wasn't an act of God. It was a demonic storm that didn't want Jesus to cross to the other side. Why? Because there was a demoniac over there who needed to get set free. And the evil spirit was territorial, did not want Jesus to cross over to the other side. And so, sickness, I believe sickness should not be tolerated in the kingdom of God. And we declare war on all the acts of hell, all the weapons of hell. And sickness is wrong and it's illegal. Sickness has no right. When you are redeemed from the curse of the law, you're an ambassador of heaven. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's no room for the curse of sickness to be in your body. If you're experiencing that, it's because there's a trespasser. It's the enemy is trying to do something illegal, but it legally has no right to do that. So sickness is wrong and illegal. We've been given authority to stand against the devourer. And it's not tolerated by God. It's not tolerated by heaven. But sometimes we see it tolerated by the church. We think, well, someday we'll be healed when we enter into heaven. But that's not the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means today. Today is the day of sozo. Did you know that word is another word for healing? Today is the day for complete holistic healing to your mind, your heart, your body, your flesh, your spirit. Today is the day of salvation, sozo. And so we have these excuses sometimes. Maybe it's not God's timing. You know, his timing was 2,000 years ago when he, on the cross, took all the infirmity, all sickness, he absorbed it on the cross and took it to hell. By his stripes, we were healed. Notice the verses are always past tense. It's interesting. When you come into agreement with the truth of God's healing 2,000 years ago, you experience healing in the present tense. The children of Israel were journeying through the wilderness and they were getting bitten by snakes. And then Abraham was told, or it was Moses, sorry, Moses said, put a snake on a staff or a cross that represented Jesus absorbing evil, taking the evil of the world, the pain, the sickness, the poison. And they were looking at a sign of Jesus, and everybody who looked at the cross got healed. They're looking at something that happens to that, you know, in the future, but they were looking at Jesus in the past. Isn't that cool? But we get to look at something Jesus has already accomplished, the finished work of the cross. And so when you say maybe it's God, not God's timing, I believe it's God's timing right now. Today is the day. Maybe you don't have enough faith. This is an excuse that I think is just horrible. Never say this to anybody. Maybe you don't have enough faith. This is just, it's blaming you for the sickness because your prayer isn't working and so you don't know. So you come up with an excuse. Maybe you just didn't have enough faith. Don't ever say that to anyone because I was in Walmart. Yeah, it's a dangerous place. I was in Walmart and there was a Satanist in Walmart. He had a pentagram necklace. He had pentagram earrings and he was on crutches. And I knew in Walmart, God heals people on crutches. And so I said, hey, can I pray for you? And he says, I don't believe in God. And I'm like, well, then what's the worst that can happen? I kind of got a challenge. I dared him. What's the worst that can happen then? Then your belief will be proved if nothing happens. And so I prayed for him. He got healed. And he said, I guess I have to get a new necklace. Now, he didn't have faith. He had anti-faith and God healed him. So don't say, you know, maybe you didn't have enough faith. God's healing people who are not even saved, who don't know nothing about God. That's not a prerequisite that your theology, you know, you've gone to Bible school, then you can get healed. No, God will heal a Muslim. God will heal a Satanist. God will heal an atheist. God will heal. Why? Because they're all children of God made in his image, even if they're running away. They're all made in his likeness, and he's calling them back. And so, you know, other people have said, you know, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says maybe. And I'm like, I try to find that verse in the Bible, and I'm like, I can't find that verse in the Bible. Another man-made verse. God's promises are yes and amen. I found that verse in the Bible. God's promises are yes and amen. You know, God moves in mysterious ways. Well, why did he give us a book so that we would know his ways? You know, yes, he is supernatural. Yes, he's awesome. But he also wanted to know his ways. Jesus went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. Well, his ways are higher than ours. Yes, his ways are higher than ours. His ways are heavenly. And in heaven, there is no pain. There is no sickness. There is no tears. So we are called to make war on the works of the enemy, not tolerate them. And so Jesus says, we have all authority we have been given us. I'm going to go through a few scriptures here. So we're going to go into Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1 and then skip over down to 7 and verse 8. This is in the New King James. In verse 1, it says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. Then in verse 7, it says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, so freely give. And you know, God's given us authority to be heavenly physicians on his behalf. The blood of Jesus cures cancer. The blood of Jesus cures leukemia, cures diabetes. And so it's our responsibility to release heaven's atmosphere. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven. God's given us a responsibility to loose heaven on earth. And so, you know, we're a living, breathing embassy in Jamaica. We went into the embassy of Canada so we could, you know, we could basically get some help because we were Canadian citizens in Jamaica. And when you go into the embassy of Canada, you are no longer under the rule of Jamaica at that time. Now I'm under the protection and I am under the rule of Canada. And I have rights as a Canadian citizen, even when I'm in Jamaica, but more so when I'm in the Canadian embassy. you're in the Canadian embassy and you have political asylum. You're safe. Nobody can do anything to you. Nobody can get you. You're safe. You're an embassy. You're in the embassy of Canada. We have been commissioned as the body of Christ to be a living, breathing embassy of heaven. Healing rooms are an embassy of heaven. And when people come into this place and when people shake hands with you, they're shaking hands with healing power. There's sickness, the law of sickness and the curse of death. It no longer applies to you because you are living in the embassy of heaven. And so sickness is a trespasser. And Jesus had incredible results when he prayed for the sick. He healed all that were oppressed from the devil. Remember, the disciples asked him how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And he says, this is how I pray. Father, Heavenly Father. And he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know if you went to heaven and you saw a sick person, that would not be heaven. That would be weird, right? Because it wouldn't be right because there's no sick person in heaven. And so God is teaching us what is a new normal. That is possible to walk in healing all week long. It is possible to walk in healing, to live in healing. I'm radical about this. I believe the Bible said it. I believe it. So let's go. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Why would you think God would have to warn the church about calling evil good and good evil? I mean, you know, we're living in an interesting age right now where that is happening all over the world, where people are saying, well, this is, you know, abortion is good. You know, we're calling evil good and it's becoming normal. I mean, you know, sickness is a weapon from hell. Disease is a weapon from hell. And we're called to, there's a call of war against all the weapons of the enemy. And so I want to encourage you. One of the keys that I've walked in and started to learn in healing is intimacy. Spending time with the Lord and healing out of intimacy. It can't be praying for somebody and getting sort of a notch in your belt, just getting another test. We're not healing people so we get another testimony. This is a real person who's going through real pain and God cares about them. And the way that God wants to heal them is often going to be personal. And so healing happens out of intimacy. And I've even taught in healing schools where people are always like, okay, tell me the formula. Tell me the A, B, C. How do we pray and see results for healing? And that is just another form of charismatic religion. If you want to like limit God to a box and say, okay, this is how you get healing, A, B, C. Try doing that with all the miracles that Jesus did in the Bible. You will never nail him down. You will never find his formula. And I think that's because there's many reasons. Because the man who was blind, he spit in the mud and he spit and made mud and put mud in his eyes. Don't follow that formula, you guys. But that was what needed to happen for that man. God healed him the way he needed to be healed, the way he needed to be touched. And so healing is often, it's personal, it's relational. You know, Jesus just says the word and a person is healed miles away. Somebody grabs onto the hem of his garment and they get healed. Jesus didn't pray. He wasn't even aware. Somebody just grabbed onto the hem of his garment. Peter's shadow heals somebody. You know, somebody's friend, the friends lower him from a lame man from the roof. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. Rise up and walk. There's not a formula here. You're not coming to healing school to learn a formula. You're coming to a healing school to be invited to more intimacy with God and God to fill you with his love for people so that God can touch people whatever way that God wants to touch people. So, you know, religion is like, and when I say religion, that's man-made moral law, won't get the same results as love. Whatever God has done, anything in my life, it's always come out of a place of relationship with Holy Spirit. And so healing is personal. And anytime you do something great in the kingdom of God, it's through intimacy. And as you walk in friendship and relationship with Jesus, miracles, signs, and wonders follow. We don't follow miracles, signs, and wonders. They follow us as we follow Jesus. So you follow Jesus, the byproduct, miracles, signs, and wonders. Isn't that awesome? Our job is to continually fix our eyes on Jesus. And so I wanted to talk to you about a bit about that salvation. Sozo means complete, nothing missing, nothing broken. It's not just talking about our spirits being saved. It's talking about our whole being saved. It's holistic salvation. It's soul, spirit, and body. And it's God's desire for you that you would live in complete health. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." You know, it's been preached really well in the church that God saves us from sin, but it has not been preached that strongly that God saves us from sickness. But it's always in the same verse. It's always in the same verse. Look at, you know, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. "He himself bore our sins in his body on a tree so that we might die to sins and live in righteousness. By his stripes, by his wounds, you have been healed." To him, to Jesus, he's talking about the same thing. The forgiveness of sin. He says, "Your sins are forgiven, rise up and walk." The healing is for our spirit, but it affects also our body. Your sins are forgiven. The enemy legally can't touch your body anymore. Rise up and walk. You're healed. Isn't that awesome? It's sozo, salvation. It's complete salvation. In Psalms 103, verse 2, it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." See that? It's in the same verse. It's in the same sentence. You know, I remember in Calgary, I witnessed to this guy, and he gave his life to Jesus. And when he gave his life to Jesus, his body got healed in the same moment that he gave his life to Jesus. Now Jesus is Lord, and he can bring your body into order. Isn't that awesome? Isaiah 53, verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." So salvation is a daily reality. Isaiah 53 is talking about the substitution of Jesus for a man. It says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs." That word griefs means sicknesses, weaknesses, and pain. And so we can preach healing as boldly as we can preach forgiveness of sins, because they are in the same word of that word salvation. It's sozo. It's complete healing. People say, well, you can't preach healing that boldly. How will that make people who are, you know, dealing with issues in their body feel? It's like, well, you can't preach salvation that boldly. How will that make the lost feel? It's like saying the same thing. Healing is, so I like saying this, healing is for the world, but health is for the church. Health, you get to live in health because of what Jesus did. And what you've received, our job and responsibility is to freely give it away. And so I'm going to close here in a second. We're going to do some activations. But in the 30s, there was a healing revival. In the 50s, if you know anything about revivals, it was called the Healing Hands. And they would have meetings where I heard that they would literally have drains or like vents in the middle of the floor because of the amount of tumors that were falling off people's bodies in the meetings. And they're cleaning it up afterwards. And in they would have these big, massive tent meetings in the 50s. Like Kenneth Hagin came out of it. Oral Roberts came out of these like massive healing revivals. And Oral Roberts was one of the biggest healing evangelists. He had the biggest tent, but you couldn't get in the prayer line to get prayed for unless you filled out this card. And on this card, you'd fill out your background of your faith and what sickness that you were believing God to heal you from, and then your contact information. And what they did is they called back all these people 6 months later to see if they still were healed, if they had still retained their healing. And they found something fascinating. They found people that were from a Catholic background or a non-church background or a church that did not believe or teach in the healing gifts, that 80% of the people that they called 6 months later had were still walking in their healing. But they would found 20% to 30% of the people from Pentecostal or charismatic churches that taught on healing often, that there was only about 20% that were still walking in that healing. And they thought, this is fascinating. What do we glean from this? And what they gleaned from this is that God, in his kindness and his grace, he was drawing people to heal to him who had never been healed, but people who had been taught this and were mature in the gifts of the Spirit, that they were putting their faith in a tent meeting. They were putting their faith in a healing evangelist, and that was where they received the miracle. It wasn't in Jesus and what then the cross and what he'd done. And so they were waiting for another revival service. They were waiting for another healing meeting. And so they'd been taught that God does miracles, but they needed to be taught God already did the miracle 2,000 years ago, and you don't even need somebody to lay hands on you. You can lay hands on yourself. You can read the scriptures of health yourself. And so that there's a difference between milk and the meat of the gospel. Where I remember when I was 5 and 6, if I get a headache, if I get a sore stomach, my mom would pray for me and it was like instant relief. I'd always feel instant relief. Why? Because I knew that when my mom prayed for me, she was a woman of faith, that I was going to get healed. And at a point when I was like 11 or 12, I remember she was praying for me and it wasn't working. And they just said, you know what? Maybe you're old enough. Maybe you're mature enough. You need to lay hands on yourself. And so I prayed for myself. I laid hands on myself and I felt healing come into my body. And so there's a maturity that's like, we don't always need the healing evangelist to come and pray for us. We got the words of life. We can lay hands on ourselves. I remember mom teaching me, lay hands on your head, lay hands on your heart, lay hands on your body. And you can pray for yourself and walk in healing. And how many know children, the children of God, our health is an inheritance from God. Healing is the children's bread. This is even the basics. And so we can daily walk in this. God, thank you for our daily bread, our daily health. My dad, in his prayer for food, it's like communion. Every breakfast, every lunch, every supper, it's communion. He's like, God, thank you that this is health to my body. This is health to my body. It also helps him maybe not eat at McDonald's so much, because he feels a little bit convicted when he's trying to pray for a cheeseburger. God, thank you that this is health to my body. Help him make smarter decisions. But every meal, he treats it like communion. And I remember when my dad got this revelation, he started losing weight by like praying. He was praying for his food. And so even his eating habits changed and he was healthier with his diet. But he even believed like food is a prayer. It's like you're eating the food and it's health to your body. And so, I believe, we're going to activate it right now. We're going to pray for ourselves right now. We're going to lay hands on ourselves, because freely we've been given, freely we've received, freely we can give away. So this is something that we practice. We don't pray just for other people. We pray for ourselves. This is something that we walk in. I've seen people get healed of even with their eyes, floaters in their eyes, healing it with ears. Sometimes the sickness tries to come back a day later, a week later. Don't be discouraged. To me, this is just like Israel leaving Egypt, right? Israel left Egypt, and then the enemy, the Egypt tried to come and bring them back into their familiar bondage, back into slavery. So you get set free, you get healed, praise God, but don't be surprised if the enemy tries to bring the symptoms back. We have authority to say, no, I'm not taking that baggage back. I'm not taking, that's not mine anymore. I reject it in Jesus' name. I've got healed and I'm not going back to Egypt. And so there might be times where you're experiencing something that's not necessary. I believe there's a difference between truth and facts, okay? Facts are, you might be having some symptoms and you might be in some circumstances, but truth changes. Truth changes the facts. Facts can change, but truth remains the same. And so the fact are, we live in a world where there are sickness, where there's symptoms, but I believe there's a higher reality that we can come into agreement with, the truth that always sets us free. And so I believe for this stuff emphatically, because I want, when, if I'm going through a health battle, I want somebody who believes in miracles and healings and faith to come and pray with me and come and partner their faith with me. So I like to hang around with people who, like, we believe in this stuff. And so why don't we stand up right now? Thank you, Jesus. God, I just thank you right now for healing in the room. We've just read scriptures. We heard testimonies, Lord, that your word is life and health to our body. And so we're not just reading these scriptures for information. We're reading the scriptures because we believe the word is living, it's alive, and that you are present to heal. We just agree with that scripture that says Jesus was present to heal. And we believe you're present right here, right now, to heal minds, to heal hearts, to heal bodies. And so, God, whatever personally that's going on in our body, that we're not going to experience that in heaven, we're just going to thank you right now for your healing touch to that area of our body or our soul or our mind. God, I just thank you for mental health miracles right now in this atmosphere of faith. God, I just thank you for peace. I can feel your peace. And we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your peace. So God, we just pray for those believing for a miracle in their eyes. Lord, we just thank you for healing eyes right now in Jesus' name. God, we just thank you for healing backs, for healing necks, for healing hearts, shoulders, ligaments, bones. God, we just don't tolerate anything that is not tolerated by you. And we just come into agreement with healing right now. Thank you, God. No more migraines in Jesus' name. Ooh, I felt that. No more migraines in Jesus' name. God, we just thank you for healing through the atlas bone. No, I felt like symptoms of whiplash being healed right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for healing necks, the atlas bone down the spine, where there's been pinched nerves. God, we just thank you for healing of all pinched nerves right now. Whew. Yeah, thank you, God. Man, I could just feel an atmosphere right now, just faith. I can feel an atmosphere of his love and his peace. And so, God, we just partner with you right now in Jesus' name. And we speak to all pain in the body, go right now. In fact, lay hands on any area in your body that you're just believing for a miracle. God, we just thank you. If you need an overhaul, just lay hands on your head. God, we just thank you right now. Oh, there's restoration coming. There's restoration coming. Yeah, to that car accident. Thank you, God, for the body and the trauma that the body felt being just healed right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for loosening the shoulders. God, we just thank you for asthma being healed right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for food allergies being healed. Man, last year I got to pray for a hockey player who could not put on masks because he was allergic to meat. He was allergic to steak. And we prayed for him and he started eating steak every day and his allergy got totally healed. So God, thank you for healing allergies right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for healing allergies. God, we just thank you for dental miracles. Thank you for healing in the mouth, dental miracles. We thank you for healing cavities. God, we thank you for healing chipped bones. I used to walk and there was a click in my toe because my toe got broken. And God healed this like click in my toe because there was a bone that was out of place and was always knocking together. God, we just thank you for healing feet. A couple weeks ago, one of our members in our church gave a testimony that God gave him arches. So God, we just thank you for healing arches right now. Thank you for healing feet. Thank you for healing arches. Thank you for healing necks, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm just going to call out a few things that I felt. Yeah, a ripped or torn meniscus. I think it's the left leg. I'm not sure, but I think it's the left leg. Does that make sense to anybody? A ripped or torn meniscus? Is it your left leg or is it, oh my gosh. Okay. I didn't see that. Come on. Well, if you're around him, can I have a few people? This is healing school, so let's get our practice in. Yeah, just come into the middle of the aisle. Go ahead, lay hands. They're going to lay hands on your leg. God, we just thank you for healing the meniscus, the torn meniscus. God, we just thank you for healing that knee right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for heat going into his leg right now, your power. Thank you, Jesus. God bless him. I know you pray for a lot of people. You'll see a lot of people healed. You've seen a lot of demons cast out. So God, I just thank you for healing. Lord, let him run. Let him leap. God, we just thank you for restoring his knee right now in Jesus' name. Even the cartilage being restored in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Come on. Come on. Can we just thank God right now? Now, I just want you. Do you feel anything happening right now? I just feel the love of God. Just, yeah. Do you feel anything happening right now? Maybe a little bit. Yeah, just keep. Yeah, you know how this works. Thank you, Jesus, for 100%. Thank you, Jesus, for a complete miracle in the leg right now in Jesus' name. Come on. Thank you, God. God says, I felt like this healing of blood sugar levels. I felt like God wanted to heal symptoms from diabetes. Who is that? Diabetes? Does that make sense? Come on. Praise God. Just lay hands on him right there. Sir, we just believe God for a miracle right now. Thank you, God, for diabetes being healed right now in Jesus' name. No more diabetes. Yeah, thank you, God, for healing in the blood sugar levels. Yeah, just go ahead and pray for him, you guys. You don't need me to pray. You're right there. Just to say, Jesus, come and heal. Just simple prayer. Jesus, come and heal. Come and do it. Come and do it, God. Thank you, God, for a miracle right now. God, we just thank you for your miracle working power right now in this room, in this place right now. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just pray, Lord, this. We just all agree in faith. We all get activated right now, and we just say, be healed in Jesus' name. And there's other issues going on in your back. God's saying he's healing your back right now. I see oil going down your back, healing oil, anointing oil going down your back, and he's healing your sleep. Your rest is going to be sweet. There's some other issues that God just he's dealing with right now in your body. God, we just thank you. Even I felt like several people with there was gut issues. If you need healing with in the gut, if you're believing God for healing in the gut, just receive it right now. God, we just thank you for healing gut issues right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just declare 100% right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for a miracle. Come on, can we just praise God? He's calling things out. He's fixing things. All eyes are on Jesus. All eyes are on Jesus. It says that Jesus is the great physician. Can we just thank our doctors and our physician, our healthcare system? Come on, praise God for our doctors and nurses and healthcare practitioners. But you know who's the greatest of all? Jesus is the great physician. And I'd rather get touched by that physician than any other physician. My sister's in the healthcare. She's a nurse, and I'm thank God for her. She was at our child's birth, and she was there when I was in the hospital getting my appendix taken out. Come on, thank God for people who have a job to bring healing to people's life. That's amazing. But spiritually, we are all have the same responsibility, and we've been anointed to do the same thing because he's the great physician. I felt like a slip disc. God says he wants to heal a slip disc. Who is that? A slip disc. Thank you, Jesus. There's been an issue going on in your back. I think it's like really lower back, and it's causing like spasms. Is that right? Yeah. You're supposed to go in on the 20th of this month to get your nerves burned on your 7 nerves burned on your lower back. Well, the fire of God can touch you right now. Amen. God, we just thank you for healing all the way down the spine, all the way down the back. Jesus, come and do what you love to do. Come and heal, Holy Ghost. Jesus, we thank you for the blood that heals all pain. And we just thank you for healing arthritis right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for extra cartilage, supernatural cartilage in the back, God. you've got body parts in heaven. We know. And we just thank you. You can put extra cushion in the back. You can put extra cartilage in the back. And we just thank you. Back, be whole, be straight, have the healthy curve that you were created to have. Heaven come from the top of her head all the way down her back. I feel something happening. Do you feel something happening right now? Thank you, Jesus. She's tingling. Praise God. More Lords. Come on, let's just thank God. God's doing something. That's an anointing. I'll say this, guys. Often I'll be in worship and my hands will start to tingle. That's the sort of a sign that God is saying, there's somebody that needs healing in the room. And it's a healing of often on my body. I start to feel this tingling on my hands. And I feel like that God's saying, I'm anointing your hands to go and lay hands on somebody. And so that pay attention to these signs that God's wanting to use you. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know what? I don't know how many people would join me in doing this, but I want to activate and I want to do it boldly. And this is going to maybe be a little bit awkward, but for people, especially who are believing to be a part of the healing room. So I'm just going to be honest. All the greatest miracles that I've seen, I had to cross over the chicken line, you know, like there's this line, right? And I had to go and talk to the person and I had to be vulnerable and I had to get into that space. And so I'm going to do it today. I've already been doing it. Every time I start to call out word of knowledge, like things that God wants to touch, I'm like, oh, what if it doesn't land? What if I'm not hearing right? That's the enemy trying to hold back me taking risk and hear God. What if somebody gets healed, right? That I'm asking the wrong what if question. What if somebody gets healed? And so, you know what? I'm going to do this. We'll give you homework. This is what I'll do. I'll make this easier on you. Because if you don't do it, you won't have a whole room staring at you because you didn't do it. And so I'll be nice, okay? I had an internship and I forced everybody to do it. They had fun though. They got used to it after. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask God, you're going to ask God who on your cell phone needs healing. Which one of your friends needs healing on your Facebook friends list, on your cell phone? And then you're going to call them in the next day, in the next 24 hours. And you say, God just placed you on my heart. I'm just agreeing for a miracle for your life. I'm agreeing for healing in your life. The centurion came to Jesus and said, Jesus, you just need to speak the word and my servant will be healed of the palsy miles away. How many know the anointing can travel? The anointing is voice activated. The word of God is voice activated. And so I want you to be brave and call somebody up and be like, God put you on my heart. Like ask God, who are you doing a miracle in? Who do you want to heal? And call them up, leave a voice message. But if you get them, pray for them and leave a voicemail, and pray for them on the voicemail. Just believe God for a miracle. Can everybody do that? What if we had like 20, 30, 40 testimonies by the next week of people getting healed over the phone, you guys. Over the phone, God can do it. We did this in class. We did it live. We got people's phones out and we started calling people who needed a miracle. And we saw healings that day. We saw 3 to 4 to 5 healings right there in the class. So God is good. Can we just praise him one more time? I'm going to ask Hannah to come up.
Yeah, and I just think to say that I don't want you to disqualify yourself, because I think there's people in this room who are saying, if only I was more in the word or in my devotions, or I just feel like God says, don't disqualify, because it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit in you. And so that's what I feel like you need to hear today. And yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, give Pastor TJ another round. Wasn't that amazing? Yeah, we just feel so honored and blessed to have you share. And thank you so much. So stick around and chat and don't forget your homework. I feel this is really amazing. And I had a similar thought, just like if all of us went out and took that risk and prayed for someone, as uncomfortable as that is, how many people would be healed just by the fact that we're doing it, right? All right, let me just pray to close. Yeah. We just thank you, God, for this night. I thank you, God, that you are activating us for your kingdom. I thank you, God, that we are ready as warriors, as arrows in your quiver, God. I just pray that you will send us out. God, I pray that we will be obedient, that there will be a quickening to your voice, Lord, and a sensitivity to what you're doing in this city and the people around us. So God, I just pray a blessing on every person that is here, God. I just pray that your spirit would go in with full anointing. And I thank you, God, for the power that you've given us to heal the sick. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Summit Podcast. We pray it impacted your heart. If you have prayer requests, we would love to pray with you. Email prayer@thesummitreddeer.ca.